Don't forget your good luck messages coming in for Jesse Buckley as we head into this Jesse Buckley weekend and the Oscars on Sunday night and into Monday morning. Now, a while ago, I caught up just in the last number of days before he headed off to Los Angeles, really. I caught up with Jesse's dad, Tim Buckley. He came in to talk about the last few weeks, really, what it's been like. And the last few years, I suppose, of her career. Have a listen. Look, first of all, it's fair to say it's probably been a remarkable time for you and for the family. Just sitting back watching all this going on, I suppose, watching all these award ceremonies and flowing from, you know, the brilliant performance, the brilliant movie that she was involved in, Hamlet.
Yeah, it is amazing, you know. And I suppose the one thing you'd kind of say, it's quite surreal in one way. And, you know, Jesse the child and Jesse the actor, it's, they're kind of two different people. And so for us, it's like sometimes we're looking at another person, we have to pinch ourselves in to remind ourselves that actually, you know, she's of us, she's of this place. And so it's beautiful in that sense. But, you know, I think as our job as parents is really to kind of look at them in these places, but we're to kind of catch them in the places off camera when they're in that moment of vulnerability or whatever. But I mean, an awful lot of credit has to be due to Jessie. She kind of has remained true to herself, has had her own personal vision from the very start. And I remember Andrew Lloyd Webber said, look, when she was in one of those critical moments before she went on to sing the Man That Got Away, and says, look, this woman just needs us all to just leave her alone and do her stuff. And I think that's the beautiful thing. I think she takes these little things from these mentors on board, but she listens to herself more than anybody else. And, you know, she's just followed her own path, done her own stuff. She's never been loud, never been brash, never been, I wouldn't say she's even been ambitious, but she's internally ambitious, but more for the work than for any little, what other people might call the accoutrements of fame and things like that. So deep down, she's still herself, which is a great thing to say about anybody, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And it's even from that, even from the Actors Award last night and her speech, she paid particular tribute to Emily Watson.
Yeah, yeah.
And some of the roles she's, like, you see, she's learned from people who she's met along the way and learned from her, obviously, as well. Really enjoyed working with her, too.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about Emily is she was her mentor, that you're kind of given a mentor from the outside when she was in RADA. So kind of go back a long way. And she can, and then she was in Chernobyl with her as well. And so, but, and then she was with, Emily then was in Paul Mescal's film, which was written by a girl, Fola O'Rahala from Cremorne or whatever. So there's all these strings that always, I'm always amazed how accidentally things come together in their own shape and form or whatever, and it's just lovely to see. And that's what, you know, they're, we look upon them as stars and actresses. They're her friends and her colleagues and her work buddies. And I mean, I think the one thing that's always come across with her as well is that you know, she's in a team sport, you know, and whether it's the fella making the soup or whether it's the fella, you know, holding the boom camera or whatever, that everybody is important in it. And myself, from having worked in hotels, you know, the hotels don't run without the fellas on the wash-up or the ones making the beds, and the fellas in the fancy suit, you know, are as dependent on those as anybody else, you know. So, and it's, you know, I suppose when you grow up in a place like Killarney where hospitality, greeting people from all shapes and sizes, it all kind of rubs off on you as well. And it's all good, you know.
It's about that human connection. You're on this team making this film.
Yeah.
You hope it's the best it can be. And it clearly was when it came to Hamlet.
Yeah, but I mean, everything is an act of fate, but you know that, you know, if you pick a good team and if there's a good vision, if there's good writing and all those things, you know, I suppose have to be edited through before you even get out of the thing. But at the end of the day, she follows her heart more than any other kind of narrative. And if it feels right or if it's challenging or whatever, they're the kind of little streams she likes to flow down and make her own of it then. And, you know, she tests people out on the set as well and broadens it out. She doesn't read things literally, and she... The amount of research she does, I remember she was doing the life of Lee Miller in RADA, and she said, listen, I need to go to, I don't know, it was a Buchenwald or Dachau or whatever, but she had to kind of sit in the space that this woman had sat in. And likewise, with Hamlet, she's gone through the dream worlds, she's analysed her own dreams, getting into the thing. So, you know, it's not just about turning up. It's about ploughing the land, setting the seed, and waiting for a beautiful work to germinate. Then, you know,
then you're ready to go.
But unless you've all the hard work done beforehand or whatever, it doesn't. And that's what makes her performance so kind of emotionally seamless, which is a difficult thing to achieve.
Yeah, yeah, it certainly is. It's not easy, that's for sure. And when it comes to Hamlet, there's a lot of there's kind of a mysticism to it, isn't there? The idea of, you know, the women in my family see things, and the whole, it's like almost like an Irish thing.
Yeah.
Seeing forward, on my deathbed there'll be two children. Those sort of things as well. It's like a mystical side.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's not really alien to us at all. And, you know, whether it's trees or roots or forests or land, like all those things are under all our fingernails, even though we might be the generation that has left the land behind. But
yeah,
we do carry those stories from our ancestors. And, you know, my grandfather came back from America to start the Arbutus Hotel, but I always think, look, he's a sheepman from the mountains of Tourbone at the end of the day. But, you know, he left with the things, and you carry those little elements within you as well, respecting everybody along the way. And I think that's a nice thing, way to be, you know.
Yeah, it certainly is. What have you made of the reaction locally to the awards, to the film? Have people been talking to you about it, saying, like, my God, I've seen it? And a lot of people have been moved to see it because of Jesse, because of the popularity of it, obviously.
Do you know, I live a kind of quiet life up the mountain.
Or do you try and keep away from
during the mountain? And I stay away from, but I've got some lovely texts from lovely people. And, you know, I think it's touched a lot of people who've had their own little sorrows, little quiet sorrows that they kind of kept to themselves. And, you know, my mother, she lost a number of children, and she could never speak of it. You know, they kind of buried that kind of conversation within themselves. You know, so these kind of things bring all those emotions up.
They do.
In a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it just allows people to hold each other's hands again in a dark space of a cinema, cry together. They're all cathartic in their own way. And, you know, they're a placebo for, and not only a placebo, they're the real thing for the little sorrows that we all harbour within us in one shape or other.
Isn't that the remarkable thing of it, though, that this, according to the story in the book, Maggie O'Farrell's book, this was cathartic for William Shakespeare? That it helped drive his imagination, his storytelling.
I think for me, the interesting thing is that men and women can process grief very differently, and yet, you know, it comes to an understanding in the end. You know, but sometimes when you're in the middle of the storm, you can't see that the other, you're kind of a bit angry with the other fellow because he's not fucking feeling the same kind of thing in the same kind of mirrored way that you're feeling. Whereas, you know, some fellow might plow himself into flipping work and just trying, you know, and, you know, there's no such thing as, there was no therapy then, and people have different ways of handling it, and, you know, but it just allows all those things to, you know, if you want your scabs to heal, you need a bit of fresh air to get in at them or whatever, and it's not always about plastering over them. And I think this film allows that little element of fresh air to get in on those things.
Yeah. That's a good way of describing it. Tim, she wasn't a stranger to Shakespeare either.
No. Well, I suppose she learned it at school, but you kind of learn it at school, but you're not given the love of it. And I mean, that's the funny thing, or it's put up on a pedestal that's maybe too high from you. But when she was doing the I Do Anything, she went off on a 3-week Shakespeare course. And, you know, if you get a good teacher in anything, and if you, I think teaching is about teaching people to play, because you learn more through play than actually being dogmatic about it. And different people have different ways of learning. And if you're allowed to play with the words and not kind of hold them like some sacred chalice or whatever, you know, you can imbue an element of fun into them. And I think that's what that course, Mike, I can only speaking on her behalf, but she's kind of communicated that it brought it to light. But I remember I said to her once, how in the name of God do you learn all those lines and you can spout them out? And she said, I just learn them like a piece of jazz. Like, I just hear the music in them and then they kind of eventually make sense. So, you know, each is their own way. And, you know, but I'm sure there's a lot of repetition as well to make it feel so natural. But it's lovely.
Isn't that a skill in itself? Like being able to do it, like she's been on stage, she's been in plays. It's a different, almost like a different medium, films with take after take. Being able to keep in character, being able to deliver such a performance. Like she did, it's a talent of its own.
She did Henry V now with Jude Law, and she had to kiss poor Jude Law 7 days a week.
Terrible.
For her sins. And
very hard work.
Then she did The Tempest in the Globe with Roger Allam, and that was an amazing production. And then with Judi Dench and what's the man from Kenneth Branagh or whatever.
Kenneth Branagh, yeah.
She did A Winter's Tale. So, like, for a young girl from here, just to step with those, in those spaces, like, I mean, Jesus, you know, you'd almost genuflect going past the Globe itself.
You would.
Never mind actually appearing in it or whatever. And then to have that kind of thing almost mirrored in Hamlet itself, where you have, you know, the Globe Theatre kind of made up, basically like the village in Ryan's Daughter in the middle of no man's land and appear real, you know, and it's the magic of it all, you know. But but remember in the film, somebody asked me, like, what was the best part? And I said, you know, I said, for me, the best part was they were doing Hamlet on stage and suddenly these people came out with these red flaring candles and the audience gasped. And I said, do you know that? I said, because we all need that bit of magic in our lives, and that kind of just imbued it all for the magic it is and for the escapism that going to the theatre or going to the cinema is, that you can kind of just leave the dishes in the sink, head off into this other world where you're suddenly transported and, you know, you can gasp at little wonders, or, you know, and you become that child again within you, which is lovely, you know.
And it has the film as well, it pulls you in to the movie and you stay with it and it makes you think about it afterwards. Not every film can do that, but this one definitely
Yeah, and it's a quiet
does.
Film as well, like, you know, it's not battering down the door on you, and yet it seems to pass, maybe I'm biased, very, very quickly or whatever, but it's a bit like a Bob Dylan record. I think it gets better on the second and even the third time of listening, which is says a lot about it as well. And you see things you didn't see the first time, so it's something worth revisiting anyway in my
100%. Tim, you've written something for us. You've written something about her.
Well,
or about your understanding of what's happening.
I remember watching her preparing her some lines there for a Shakespeare play, as it turned out, and the old muse got working afterwards. So this was done long before this, but it's a little piece called The Actress, and it's about her doing what she does best. And I'll give you the whole lot of it, actually.
Do please.
The Actress. She scratches the surface of the words that she reads and she waits for their meaning like an essence to bleed. Then she turns and she tosses them alone in her head and waits patiently in silence until her imagination is fed. Then she stares in the mirror held behind her closed eyes, and the words, they dance inside her like a swarm of black flies that buzz like a chaos until its music appears with its discord of sorrows, darkness and tears. Then she mangles and mushes the feelings she feels until the scabs of emotions are tested and peeled to be boiled in a soup that bubbles in her head, full of life's contradictions before they're planted in a bed where all thoughts grow, the evil and good, the logical, the impossible, the misunderstood, the crazy, the mad ones, the sane and sublime, the tick, tick inside her all of the time. Then under the dim lights, the audience are fed a diet of this person that grew in her head.
Fabulous. And you wrote that some time ago?
Yeah.
Amazing. Can I ask you what you think of the reaction in Kerry, or what would you say to people who have been wishing her well? Because we've just been getting a flood. Everyone is so proud of, you know, the levels she's attained and the performance she's put in, kind of for her whole career, really. But, you know, at this stage of it, with the Oscars and the awards and everything.
Oh, look, it's lovely that, I mean, we're lucky that we're from Kerry, and we're lucky that and that she's from Kerry. And, you know, even the if there's, it was for me a lovely moment when she said up Kerry as well, you know, because we're all bloody tribal when it comes down to it, you know.
We are.
And I'm getting emotional.
It's okay. Well, but she lifted January along with the footballers from the West and from Ballymac.
Yeah,
it was just an amazing.
It was a perfect storm of good news.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
The Christmas lights were still on for everybody.
Yeah.
Because Christmas hadn't ended. All this good news is coming true.
But, you know, she's, I often think she swam with the Kingdom Club over in Tralee, and was getting up at 5 a.m. and going through the motions. But I always think there was a concept, and the two O'Connells there kind of taught her at the start, and they said, you know, it's not about the times that you do, it's about getting a PB. And you kind of say, what's a PB? A personal best, like, so every time you go in there, you just, and I think life is like that. Just go out every day and just go for a PB, go for a personal best. And it's a small concept, but I think it has massive repercussions. And if there's any young people or old people or whatever, just get up in the morning and say, you know, I'm going to do a PB today. I'm going to have a personal best today, you know, and just let the cards fall whichever way they will after that.
Yeah. But, a great way of looking at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tim, are you heading over?
I was pretending to be a reluctant traveller, hard to get or whatever, because, you know, I mean, as a family, we don't kind of particularly like the limelight and just get on with our daily lives as such. But it'd be hard to resist. And if one fella got into the All-Ireland, I'd probably go to the match, so I might as well go to the Oscars as well. But no, that's not diminishing it, because
yes,
it
course.
Is a phenomenal honour. And I, the nice thing for me as well is it's a family gathering. Marina and Killian won't be there. So he went to the BAFTAs, he's guiding, but Julia, who's nursing in Australia, Eva, who's engineering out in New Zealand, we'll all be gathering at the Oscars.
And that's brilliant.
To each other. So, like, these things are about family at the end of the day, and it's this lovely opportunity for people to gather under the, I won't even say the banner of Jessie, but I think everybody, there'll be a lot of people just egging her on and hoping for the best. And, you know, I worked in the hospital over in Tralee, and hello to everybody over there at one stage. But, you know, it always amazed me when Kerry got into an All-Ireland how important it is for people to be having these nice conversations and to be opening up and having things to talk about. And isn't it lovely in this kind of mad world that we're living in now,
yeah,
that we have something nice to be celebrating. And, you know, the celebration is just getting there in the first place. And she's done us all incredibly proud so far. So if she crosses or doesn't cross the finish line, she's already finished in glory as far as we're concerned, because look, at the end of the day the work stands up for herself, and you know, we'll have our fingers crossed, and no doubt we'll be quietly just taking it all in and enjoying the whole experience of it, you know.
So yeah, brilliant. Tim, look, thanks so much for giving so generously of your time and telling the story from your perspective, and as we've said many times already, we wish you the very best of luck.
Thank you very much, and thank you especially to Radio Kerry and all the people in Kerry that have rode in behind her, and have their chest has grown a few little centimetres, I think, as a result of it. So not a bad way to finish the day, and let the journey continue. And she's a great little film coming out now as well called The Bride, which will be out shortly, and that'll be another thing to look forward to.
It certainly will. That's Tim Buckley, Jesse's dad, speaking to me in the last couple of days about Jesse and about the awards and about the film and about her career and all the things that have gone into that.